Hello, and welcome to Juniper's Cabinet of Curiosities. I'm Juniper Rain, and I'm back to tell you another story. Today's story is a story about a sleep paralysis demon that haunts more than just your nightmares. So grab a blanket, but be careful not to fall asleep. I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may now kiss the bride. An echo of applause rang out from the chapel. Seth had finally done it. His parents cheered from the front row as his college frat buddies whistled and whooped beside him. Seth, the ginger, green-eyed college heartbreaker, had finally settled down. No one ever thought they would see the day. Seth joined hands with his new bride, Kara, as they walked down the aisle as husband and wife for the first time. Kara grinned ear to ear and looked at her husband with love. She had done it. She had married the man they said couldn't be tamed. Seth and Kara met in college. He was a bad boy, and she was an intellectual with a full scholarship. She was studying to be a midwife, which she had a passion for ever since the birth of her sister. Seth was earning his degree in business management, something that would later lead him to managing a large insurance firm. Seth and Kara walked out the chapel into the back lawn, glowing with twinkling lights. Family and friends followed as they danced, drank, and celebrated the night away. About halfway through the night, Seth's best man, Chase, pulled him aside. They stood under the moonlight, tucked off to the side of the chapel. Chase frowned.
"Look, man," he said. "I saw Kate texted you. She's asking if you want to sneak in one last meetup." Chase shook his head. "I told you not to look at my phone," Seth snapped, trying to snatch it from him. Chase dodged him and held the phone high above his head. "Bro, it was going off the whole ceremony. You said you were done with this shit," Chase snapped. I am. "When's the last time you saw her?" Chase raised his eyebrows. Seth looked down at his shoes, then glanced down at the golden band on his finger. His expression lowered. "After the bachelor party," Seth admitted. "Bro, you fucking promised me," Chase scolded as Seth looked down. "In the bathroom at Woody's fucking bar after I saw you check out that chick's ass."
"Keep your voice down," Seth said, ashamed.
"Give me one good reason not to go tell Kara right now." Chase crossed his arms.
"I'm done with it, I swear. I'm a married man now."
"You made a promise," Chase said. "To her when you gave her that ring, and to me at Woody's. You already broke them both." Chase rolled his eyes.
"I swear, man," Seth cried. "Don't do this to me. I'll stop. I'll go to therapy. Anything."
"I'm gonna hold you to it," Chase caved and handed Seth his phone. "Okay," Seth grunted. "I'm serious. Next time, I'm telling Kara." "No more next time, I swear." Seth threw up his hands. Seth unlocked his phone and went to the conversation in question. He had her in his phone as K, short for Kate. He had been hooking up with her off and on for the last 2 years of his relationship with Kara, regardless of Chase's urging him to stop. Seth went into the contact, blocked, and deleted her. "See," he said. Chase gave him a solid punch in the arm and walked back out to the reception, drink in hand and ready to flirt with all of the bridesmaids. After all, he was single, and that was one less temptation on the table for Seth. Seth glanced down at the blocked caller notification and took one more screenshot of her number, just for the memory. At the night's close, Seth and Kara climbed into their white sedan, all decorated. The words "just married" scribed across the back window in bubble letters.
Kara looked at Seth as he drove on their way to a mystery honeymoon destination, her light brown hair and brown eyes glowing against the moonlight. The drive was calm and easy, about 2 hours until they reached their destination. Kara gasped when she saw that Seth had rented them a beautiful cabin on the lake. He scooped her up, cradling her as they crossed the threshold. When she got inside, she saw that Seth, or someone for him, had set up little gifts all over the cabin. As soon as you opened the door, rose petals led her to a bottle of wine and some desserts in the living room. There was a granite fireplace they could light if they got cold. The entire cabin had beautiful solid wood floors, even in the bedrooms. The master bedroom overlooked the lake and had a private balcony. To Kara, this was a dream come true. Kara loved nature, and one of her favorite places was the lake in the fall. Seth and Kara ate dessert and sat together by the fire. They looked back at all of their favorite parts of the wedding, including Mary's bachelorette speech and feeding each other wedding cake. "I've gotta hand it to you," Kara said with a mouthful of cheesecake. "I was impressed by your vows. I really loved them." They giggled together and Kara smacked his arm playfully. The couple made their way to bed, and eventually Kara drifted off to sleep. Seth, though, he could not sleep. He pulled out his cell phone, looking back at all the messages he had hidden from Kara. Pages and pages of he and Kate talking, sharing photos, and planning to meet up late at night. Normally, at times that Seth couldn't sleep, he would call Kate. Kara knew they were friends, at a point. That was, of course, before she knew that they became friends because they had hooked up. Kara urged that she didn't want him to be friends with Kate, but he insisted, and eventually, Kara caved. Kara was left feeling awkward, but not wanting to push her boundaries. Now that she was married to him, she planned, of course, to speak her mind. Seth looked at the conversation one more time, then deleted it. He turned off his phone and lay in bed, looking up at the cabin ceilings. He laid for a while, feeling bad that he had been cheating on Kara for so long, and feeling even worse that he was still thinking about doing it. Eventually, as the night grew darker, he drifted to sleep. As Seth slept, he began to drift slowly into a dream. The world around him began to form in a new way. His reality softened, and he entered a world that he had never seen. In his dream, he was still laying in bed in the cottage, waiting to catch sleep. But the edges around his field of vision were blurry. He sat up in the bed, looking at the room that now looked even larger. He glanced out the bedroom door, down an infinite hallway of wooden floors. Lights placed sporadically flickered above, humming with an electric buzz. Seth looked down at the bed beside him to see that it was not his wife, but Kate sleeping next to him. He blinked hard, but her blonde hair continued to rest on the pillow, gently touching his right arm. The buzzing began to grow louder now as the lights clicked off and on. Seth looked back out to the hallway as the light as far down as you could see flickered and stayed on for just a second longer. Seth leaned forward and squinted, and it flickered off. A few seconds later, another light flickered on. Seth jumped back and shook his head. At the end of the hall, just a few feet closer than before, was a figure. The lights flickered again, and Seth tried to stand up, but he couldn't get his legs to work. The figure was getting closer, exposing matted black hair. Seth tried to scream, but nothing other than a squeak left his body. The next time the lights flickered, he was much closer, and Seth could make out his appearance. He was tall. Shoulder or chin-length black hair was covering part of his pale skin. He looked to be in his 40s. He was wearing an unraveled straitjacket and red scrub pants. Every few seconds, he twitched his head to the left. Then he started slowly walking down the hallway. Every step he took, a long squeak came from behind him.
As he began to get closer, Seth could see that he was dragging his left leg behind him when he walked. It was causing an ear-piercing screeching against the floor and his white hospital slippers. Seth shook his head.
"I want to wake up now," he yelled. "This isn't funny. I want to wake up," he yelled as the creature got closer and closer.
Seth began to cry, gripping the blankets in fear as Kate lay beside him, unmoving. The creature moved faster as it approached the end of the hallway. He looked at Seth, his pupils so large that his eyes lacked color. He put his arms out in front of him and said,
"Wakey, wakey."
Seth jolted awake, still lying on his back. He opened his eyes wide, tears rolling down into his pillow. He went to wipe them away and he realized he still couldn't move. Was he still dreaming? He blinked a few more times, still laying still, then decided to close his eyes and try to go back to sleep. After a few seconds, he felt like someone was watching him and opened them wide. He shook in terror, eyes wide and certain that he was awake, gazing above at the man who was now standing over him.
"Wakey, wakey. Wakey, wakey, wakey. Wakey, wakey. Wakey, wakey."
The next morning, Seth woke up to Kara kissing his face. He opened his eyes. Blurred flashes of a dream or memory came to him from the middle of the night. Had he dreamt the whole thing? He kissed Kara back.
"How did you sleep, husband?"
she asked in a soft voice. Seth thought for a moment.
Honestly, not too well. I had nightmares, he admitted.
"That's odd. You don't get nightmares."
Yeah, I know. Seth laughed awkwardly.
"Maybe this place is haunted. We could always go home if you don't like it here," Kara offered.
No, it's fine, really," Seth urged. He knew how much Kara liked it.
"Besides, my parents paid for the whole week," he added.
Kara and Seth laid together, waking up and chatting. Kara joked and theorized about a haunted cabin and how it felt like a movie. When they were ready, they headed out to a cute little breakfast shop by the cabin. Kara and Seth spent the day walking the beach, looking for shells and rocks, holding hands, and even took a dip in the lake. They went home and took a shower. Then Kara made their favorite meal, baked ziti. They watched a romance movie. Seth had said that a honeymoon wasn't the vibe for horror, but truthfully, he was still scared from his dream last night. After the movie, they headed to bed, and per usual, Kara fell asleep before Seth, and he couldn't sleep. Seth did not look at the messages, not that he could even if he wanted to since he had deleted them. Before he knew it, his mind, though, was thinking of Kate. He imagined her blonde hair, messy, sleeping next to him. He imagined her blue eyes and soft, pale lips. He wished she were here, but he promised not to think that. Just then, his phone buzzed. He gazed down to a text from an unknown number. "Miss me?" it said.
"Who is this?" Seth texted back.
"You'd never forget me," they replied.
"Kate? Is that you?"
"I just want to see you. Just one more time," they replied.
It was Kate.
"I can't. I'm married now," Seth sent back. "What if I come to you? Just one more time. I need to say goodbye," Kate insisted.
Seth sat thinking. Then he sent the address. "Park at the end of the drive and I'll walk to you. Turn your lights off." Seth lied awake in bed for 2 hours while he waited for a text from Kay. He thought about how he should just block her or say never mind, but he knew that she wouldn't take that well and was worried she would come knocking. He sat waiting until finally a text rang through.
"Come kiss me," it said.
Seth grabbed a sweater and quietly left the cabin.
As soon as he reached the yard, he began running toward the end of the driveway. This was the last time he needed to say goodbye to. He got in Kate's car, blending perfectly into the brush, and broke all of his promises once again. "This is the last time. I mean it," he said.
"Oh, please. I just got a hotel. This can be our honeymoon when she's sleeping," Kate said with big blue eyes looking up at him.
"I really can't, Kate. I'm married. This is wrong."
"That's not what you said 5 minutes ago," Kate laughed. "If I remember correctly, you said it was so good."
"Jesus, Kate, how do I end this?"
"Just give me one more week with you," Kate proposed.
For the next 2 days, Seth spent his days with Kara and his nights with Kate, living a double life before theirs had even began. Each night, though, when he went to bed, he had the same dream. He began to think the house really was haunted and brushed it off. One night, he came in late and wobbly because Kate had brought him a few shots. He stumbled up on the stairs and glanced down the hall that always seemed elongated in his nightmares.
"Who are you?" he slurred. "I know you're there," he taunted.
He put his arms out in front of him, mocking the dream, and said, "Wakey, wakey." Seth felt a rush of spinning as he struggled to open his eyes. He wobbled back and forth. His vision began to blur, and a wave of dizziness washed over him.
"Wakey, wakey,"
he heard, distant and muffled. His knees buckled as the ground came rushing up toward him. Darkness closed in over the edges of his sight, then suddenly, the strange man appeared, and everything went black. Seth opened his eyes again, now laying on the floor to see the flickering lights of his dream. He couldn't move, but he could once again hear the squeaking of the shoe growing closer and closer. He tried to turn his head or reach for his phone and call for help, but he couldn't. He just lay with his phone in hand, still open to the messages from Kate's new phone. The squeaking grew faster and closer to him as he cried and trembled. Soon it sounded like the creature was running. Without any warning, Seth lost control of his bladder, soaking his pants. Suddenly, a large thump rang out, and a man was hovering over him. His stringy black hair brushed against his face, getting in his mouth as he screamed in terror.
"Please, stop!" he cried out. "I don't understand!" Seth cried.
The creature reached up one hand, propping himself up on the other. He reached down right up to Seth's mouth. Seth let out one final wail, his voice cracking until it became silent. In one swift motion, the creature reached its long, bony fingers down his throat and screamed one more time.
"Wakey, wakey, 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 wakey."
And Kara woke up. She looked around the room. "Seth?" she called out. After a few minutes of no response, Kara decided to go see for herself. She placed her feet in her slippers and turned on the lights as they flickered. She walked slowly until she saw a figure laying on the floor.
"Seth?"
she cried, running to him. Kara collapsed beside him. He was already gone. Kara cried until she saw his phone open in his hand. She scrolled back, looking at all of the messages. Her stomach dropped. How could he do this to her, and on their honeymoon? Kara sat reading every dirty message in secret, and even felt for his body to go cold and stiff. And then she called 911. The police questioned Kara, where she told them that she had just woken up and he was dead. His phone still open to text of him and another girl. Needless to say, she became the first suspect of murder. An autopsy revealed that he had died around 4 a.m. Kara called the police around 5:30. That's where Kara made her mistake.
She admitted to finding the text on his phone, but she said that she couldn't remember when she saw them. The police ridiculed her for going through his phone before calling the police.
"He was already dead. There was nothing I could do," she defended, claiming she was only looking at the messages for a minute.
"I know CPR. If he had a chance, I would have done it, but I also know when it's too late," she said. 4 days later, his cause of death came back as strangulation, and the police arrested a newly named Kara Walsh. No matter how she explained her story, they managed to spin her as the killer. She was the only one that knew their location, other than Kate. She argued that Kate could be responsible, but she had an alibi since she stopped at a local bar on the way home. Kara was deemed mentally unfit for trial and was sent to live the rest of her life at a state penitentiary. She swore that she was innocent, but there was no one else to blame. Kara sat locked in the ward, trying to tell anyone who would listen that she was innocent. Some people claimed it was a curse. Some claimed she was driven to murder and doesn't remember it. And some believed that there was something more sinister. For now, Kara will sit and wait. After all, the general consensus is that cheaters never win.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, The Wakey Wakey Man, Part 1. I hope you enjoyed it. The release of Part 2 will be announced at a later date, but follow on Instagram or Patreon for updates. If you enjoy these stories, please subscribe to my Patreon membership, linked in the show notes, for exclusive content, early news updates, and more. The first Patreon exclusive early episode airs Halloween. This week's story was read, written, and produced by Juniper Gallegos, and music is by Thessalian Studios. See you next Friday, November 1st, to start a new month of frights. Stay safe and spooky!